Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 312, Stephen King's It.
Oh, buddy.
Not falling for your pronoun game.
Stephen King's The Losers Club.
There'll be none of that. So let's just go around the table and introduce ourselves before somebody throws out a tangent.
This is Dan.
This is Joe.
This is Kevin.
And this is Tom. Real quick, shameless plug. Don't forget, we're available on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us a lot, and it boosts our ego.
Which sometimes I'm right and sometimes I'm right.
Which needs to be boosted.
Yeah.
So there. Also, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/realspoilers or follow us on Twitter at realspoilers. That's real with two E's.
Correct.
We've gotten all that out of the way. Now, let's discuss Stephen King's It.
It's going to suck when we have to put this in the, you know, upload it. Don't call it just It. I can't remember the last time I have been this excited for a horror movie. Like, it's been a while since there's been a big budget, a big studio release of a horror movie. And I, you know what? I'm not going to call it. It's not a horror movie. Like, this was not.
I didn't think it was that scary.
Yeah. I did not think it was scary. I thought it was creepy. I thought
I think it was more psychological.
Skarsgård was off the chain in a good way.
Yeah.
But it's definitely it's like the Goonies but rated R.
Or Stranger Things.
It's Stand By Me with
exactly
jump scares.
Yes.
And I felt the same way about the book. Like, I was like, right. This is The Body. The story was called The Body.
Right.
I'm like, this is, I mean, I can see how
the similarities
evolved out of that.
For sure.
That it was like, Oh, I could take that, but inject a horror element.
Yeah. And it's, I hope it makes $100 million.
I think
said this was one of the best adaptations, and I have a hard time disagreeing with that.
I would put an asterisk by it.
How
and
so?
Say, it's one of the best adaptations of his horror writing.
Yes.
Like, so it's,
oh, I'm sorry. Yes. You know, you're right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Like, it's not as good as Stand By Me.
No.
It's not as good as Shawshank.
Or The Green Mile.
Maybe The Green Mile. Maybe.
Or Misery.
Misery is thriller.
That's where I land on Misery. I was like, it's like right on the line of, is that a horror writing?
Yes.
Or it's, you know, because it's there's no supernatural element, but there's certainly a horrific aspect to
it. But I think that's the greater like thing with Stephen King, is that he was, for a long period, everybody just dismissed him as a horror writer, and they didn't really understand his really incredible grasp of colloquialisms.
Yeah.
And
I think
as a writer, as far as capturing characters and,
yes,
and linguistics of communities
and character
and
interactions
stuff like
that. And like,
and
the way characters react
just
to each other.
Would,
detail of day-to-day life.
Yeah. And
yeah,
it would just happen to have horror in a lot of his earlier stuff.
Well, we've said from the beginning that what people miss on Stephen King stuff is it's not about the horror. Like, he's able to create these characters that you care about and love, and then horrible things happen to them as we go forward, and that's where the scariness, the horror element comes in. And we've said that Misery is on that line. I don't consider it a horror movie.
Right.
I consider it like Silence of the Lambs.
It's a psychological horror.
Like Saw. It's a psychological thriller, like Saw.
Yeah.
But yeah, and I think this one, I think Shawshank, Green Mile, Stand By Me are different. Like, it's, he's got these two different bodies of work where he's got the horror stuff, he's got the non-horror stuff. This is probably the best. It's so, like, Misery was the bar. I feel like this might be the bar now, I think, in my opinion. So, have everybody read the book?
Yes.
Yeah? No?
Okay. But it's been, like, 30 years.
It's been a while. It's been about 15 for me as well.
Yeah.
So our movie starts off, and we've seen this in the trailer a billion times. It's Bill and Georgie, and you know, Bill is sick, and he makes Georgie the boat, and he goes outside. Now, they played this 4-minute teaser at the beginning of one of the movies that we had just seen, and I am flabbergasted at how good Skarsgård is without doing a Tim Curry impression.
Yeah, it definitely veers close to it, but I think anything that's going to, you know, when it's an evil clown, it's like, well,
there's only so many There's only so many variations on that theme you can do.
But he doesn't, like, I mean, Tim Curry has such a unique voice.
Yeah.
That they, I mean, to steer away from that was, I was glad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked that he had the lighter voice, more of like what you'd expect a clown to have, which is creepier. Yeah.
What I really liked about it is that too often when, and this is kind of a variation on your complaint about creepy clowns, is that too often when you have creepy clowns in movies and they're using them to entice children, you look at them and you say, what the hell kid's going to be enticed by this clown?
It's like Annabelle.
Yeah.
Well, nobody's going near that thing.
Like, it's completely
implausible.
Apparently
everybody does.
But it's completely implausible that anybody looked at that doll and said, that's adorable.
Right. Yeah.
I want that on my daughter's shelf.
Right.
Right. And so, the clowns a lot of times are the same way, that it's like, that, you know, so when he's trying to, when he's luring Georgie into the sewer.
You talking about Tim Curry or this one?
This one.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like, I'm like, I get why the kid falls for
sure, it. Sure. Like his voice is very, it's light and
it's like
airy, I guess.
Because he's doing this kind of like borderline baby talk thing. So I thought it was Christian Bale at first. And,
he's like, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah. But like, as an adult, it read as creepy.
It did.
But it also read as cutesy, to where you could see a kid being sucked in by it. And so,
well, he also, you know, they touched on that he uses like scents. So like,
which I don't feel like they did in the original one. I don't think they referenced that at all.
No, he just was, you know,
he's like, do you smell like cotton candy and the thing?
But the kid, like the kid, he's like, popcorn.
You know, what's interesting, and I agree, Skarsgård played it really well. And I'm glad he wasn't doing a Tim Curry impression.
Yeah.
I think that was really smart.
It would have been a detriment to this film.
Yeah, they did his own thing, and that was good. What's interesting with this is with Georgie, now that I think about it, he didn't really play on his fears. He just tricked him into coming down there,
I feel like,
which is different than he usually does.
So I think the arm thing is the trick, right? Or does he actually bite his arm off?
He bites his arm off.
Yeah, that's not the trick.
No,
that's not Georgie's fear.
In the book, they find Georgie.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
So that's one.
I thought
one
that was
departure.
I thought that was like, I thought that was Pennywise using Georgie's fear.
No, that's the horror of it. Is right away he attacks
it's
him.
No joke. Yeah. Like, go ahead. You were saying something.
Oh, I was gonna say, I felt like he does both. Like he's sweet to draw you in,
right?
And then he uses your fear to attack you.
Is the fear, I guess the fear is disappointing Bill.
Losing the boat, I guess.
Losing the boat.
Yeah, where it makes him,
And just the others have very specific fears. And so Georgie's just, it just seemed
Georgie's
like
Georgie's also little.
Yeah.
Little.
That's true.
I thought
that actor was great.
That kid was awesome.
I mean, from the other great actors that we'll get into, but I'm like, that little kid, the youngest one, I'm like, he was excellent. He was a cute kid and very sweet. And man, you felt
they did a good job of like, it's like, you know what's happening. And you're just like,
When Pennywise turns, like you could see the look on the kid's face where he's like, I got to go.
Were his eyes blue at first, then they turned to the orange?
Yeah, I think it goes into evil mode.
Yeah.
They turn to amber.
But
the left eye kept getting droopy.
It's an amber alert.
That's what it is. Ta-da. That's where it comes from. That's where they made it
He's
from.
He's eyeing that maraca.
For the rest of the movie, I noticed he pretty much had the amber eyes. But in the beginning, in the sewer, I'm like, oh, he has light blue eyes. Yeah. And then,
I did like that So it's raining. It's this downpour. So as Pennywise is talking, you think that maybe he's got water on his face that's like dripping past his mouth. But then, like, the more they do it, Raul Julia, hello, he's drooling, which makes it even more terrifying.
Ooh. Yeah. Well, like, and if you notice, like, the face every now and then would sort of distort, like, it's melty. Well, it's because it's like Pennywise essentially is a giant. Is a puppet.
It's in a meat suit,
and it really is. Yeah, it's a puppet for what's underneath,
suit, if you will.
And I noticed that like the left side of the face and the eye, especially, kept kind of drooping out of place and then come back in. And I was like, it was effective.
It's very
something
smart
they
move.
Do when they did this originally.
And that's the thing is, like, I don't think you could compare the two.
No,
like, source material wise is fine.
Yeah,
but what they're able to do with Pennywise in this. They would never be able to touch.
Right.
What year did that come out? Like 80?
Well, the book came out in 86.
So
the movie came out like 89 or 90, maybe.
That's a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah. Was it 90?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, so, yeah. So, like, CG and makeup. I mean, well, it's tough because makeup effects.
It was clown makeup.
Were on the level. I mean, you
teeth.
Had Rick Baker. Spooky. Yeah. Rick Baker. And you had all kinds of guys who could do Tom Savini. But NBC was not hiring these guys.
That was
to do
ABC,
the,
actually.
Oh, sorry. ABC.
Yeah.
WNBC was not hiring these guys to do the makeup on Pennywise.
No. Well, so speaking of that first opening scene, it's raining out and you've got these drone shots that are going around that you know.
Man, they make that town look awesome.
Yeah. They do. This
and I set during the 80s.
Correct. It's 1988.
Yeah,
no.
The original book was in the 50s.
Yeah, so they've upped it a few years. Yeah.
It was
so
in the 50s and then the 80s, and this is the
80s and the 2000s.
And when the book was written, it was the 50s and the present day.
Right.
Right. Oh, okay.
So they, you know.
Yeah. Same time gap,
Right.
But I just want to say this is a beautiful looking movie.
For $39 million. Dollars.
This is the cinematographer of Old Boy.
Which Old Boy?
I think the original, but let me check.
If that makes...
New
Old Boy.
2003.
Old Boy.
Yeah. So, yeah, not the Spike Lee... Old
no.
boy.
No. That's the original one.
Which is a hell of a movie.
And his name is Chung Hoon Chung.
So I saw his name in the credits and I recognized it because I just watched I Saw the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's a lot of the same guys. And I couldn't figure out why, but that makes sense if he's the... Mm-hmm. Man, and it's they are able to turn this dreary into its own character, which is kind of hard to do sometimes. If you don't know what you're doing... It's hard to do, but the director perfectly nails that there is something evil in this town, and the scope of the town is awesome.
I just couldn't believe how good the film looked, and from an artistic standpoint, I mean, I want to go see this movie again.
I want to see it
just
again as well.
But I mainly for the shots and the look of it. I thought just visually it was stunning, and you know, I like the story, and I think the acting's great. I think the kids are amazing in the cast.
Man,
I just but
sometimes you get these kid actors, and they suck. We talked about it on Death Note. We talked about it, and they are awful. There is not a weak point.
They're all good
in this cast. They're all.
Yeah, the casting
kid,
director.
The kid that's Mike doesn't have a lot to do.
Yeah, like I felt bad for that kid. Like he just kind of gets
the shaft, basically. Yeah. He's barely.
And in the book, he's the one that knows the history of Derry.
Right.
Ben isn't the one that knows?
No. Ben goes to the library. I get why they merged it that way. Mm-hmm. But in the book, Mike's the one that knows. And it's been a long time since I've read the book. But in my head, I remember it is like part of the reason Mike knew this is because I felt like there was the most recent attack was at the Black Nightclub.
Yeah. Right.
And so... I felt like it had affected the Black community, so it was more top of mind for them. They
sure.
and then because it affected the Black community, the white community kind of didn't care,
right?
Okay,
and that it was one of those things that like that Black people knew about, but white people really didn't, like Sunset Town.
Sure,
like it just didn't affect them, and so they were just like whatever.
And his family were, I think, they were farmers, and so they were more closely tied to the history of the community.
So this one, they're meat packers, right?
Yeah.
But they're dead and he lives with the grandpa.
He lives with the grandpa.
Yeah.
That grandpa wasn't the Black guy in the movie, right?
Not Danny Glover?
Yeah. Like, that wasn't the guy who played Stanley, not Stanley, but Mike in the TV movie, right?
I don't think so.
Okay. I recognized that guy, and I was like, "Is that that can't be the same guy?" Because that would be a hell of a nod if that was.
Are there any connections?
No,
I kept thinking do they throw someone in here?
I don't think they did. The only guy that I think, you couldn't put Harry Anderson in there because he's too noticeable,
and you certainly couldn't put John Ritter.
Not put John Ritter in there. Yeah. Who is he?
If you don't wink at the camera, I'm fine with little cameos as nods to the original.
This isn't the movie for that.
No.
Especially because a movie that people are already going to.
I think this movie in 2009 is that movie.
Oh, yeah. It would have been terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, I mean, they know that people are going to compare because in our previous podcast, we talked about the fact that you've got something that is so resonant is that, so much can. Of people, their takeaway from the original experience was Tim Curry as a scary clown.
Right.
And that's like, that's all you need because people are like, ugh.
I haven't seen, is he the main focus in that movie?
They build everything around those scenes where this movie, what I really like about this movie is that it's about kids and growing up and the world that they live in and
your friendships and relationships
them. And then when those scenes happen because they capture it's shitty
it's shitty being a kid at that
and
age.
They get that
are they
12? And then this is worse.
13
they're 13 in, I think she's 15. They're on that cusp where it's just like, oh god, life sucks. When you're not the cool kid and you're the nerd, and it was awful.
They made a very...
I'm not speaking from experience.
Oh, theoretically.
Theoretically.
They made a very wise move to make this film and adapt it to still center around the kids. And I think that they just hit it out of the park, especially with things like Stranger Things that we've seen that are so strong and such a strong cast of kids. I love that they followed them and they were the focal point, because for this story, you have to connect with the kids and you have to have that character development. And that's why when these things are happening, you care about the characters.
Right.
That's one of the problems with a lot of horror movies, when you just don't care about the characters. And
when everybody's fodder.
Yeah.
Everybody's a red shirt.
It's the problem with most Stephen King adaptations is, and then we talked about this a couple episodes back, is that they just lose, they don't get that what draws people into Stephen King books is not the horror.
Right.
Like, that's the payoff, but what draws you in is he creates these very rich worlds.
Right.
With these very well drawn characters, and you care about these characters.
Yeah. When when Carrie turns, like, they've built Carrie up
right
as the lovable loser that you care about and you want to be okay.
And then when
she flips, you're just like, oh god.
But you still are kind of like,
get them.
These people were awful to you. Like, I don't think that they could do that story in the same way today because
they tried. We reviewed it.
Yeah, but they have to hedge their bets because, I mean, essentially, Carrie is Columbine.
Basically.
You know, that's all
know
that
how
is.
They can come out with movies like that anymore.
And
that's the problem.
And also, don't forget, Stephen King wrote a book about a school shooter. Under the Richard Bachman pen name, which they won't publish anymore.
Yeah. I mean,
it was called Rage, by the way.
Yeah, that's when I was
Carrie
reading.
Carrie 2.
What?
No, there was a movie called Rage, Carrie 2.
I thought it was called Rage. Now I'm second guessing myself.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
I was going back and reading over all the books that Stephen King has written, and I came across that book, I just thought, I know that it's a different time now, but how did he release that book even at any point? Like, a book that...
I think it was called Rage, by the way.
I think it was just a different time. Like, that
I know,
wasn't
but
even
still,
something that people
like,
even thought
how do
about.
People cling on to that story?
Because it hadn't happened.
Yeah.
I mean, the closest you had was the Bell Tower shooting at in the 60s. Yeah. I forget. I don't think it was Kent State was the protesters.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Where the National Guard shot some kids, killed some kids. I'm not trying to trivialize it. But it was in the past. It had been 20 or 30 years.
Right.
And it was one of those things where it's like, it felt like
so far away.
It felt like, oh, that would be scary, but like, that's not going to be a thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And so when it became a thing,
does it say what year that came out?
Hang on. It came out, it was published in 77.
Oh, so you're like, you're 20 years away from Columbine.
Yeah.
Right. That was 99, wasn't it? 98.
No, I think it was 99.
Yeah.
But it was published in 77. It, and then there's a, I mean, it's virtually impossible to find in the original paperback because it was published
$9,000 book,
and it was published under the name Richard Bachman, no reference to Stephen King. But there's the Richard Bachman omnibus where they collected all four of his books. So they
Running Man, Thinner. Am I right?
I think Thinner might have been a post post reveal book.
Yeah, there was Running Man. There was
The Long Walk.
The Long Walk.
Which one's that?
Yeah.
I mean, that's amazing.
Did that become something?
No, I think they were trying on. But The Long Walk was basically like, it was like a nationwide reality type show. Again, before reality shows.
Oh, yeah.
And you had, and they took a kid from each state.
Yeah.
And you had to walk until you died.
Right.
And then the last one standing would become like rich for the rest of their lives.
So the Hunger Games, kind of.
I think we may have talked about it.
Yeah, and it's really good.
Okay.
So it's Rage, The Long Walk, Road Work, and The Running Man.
What's Road Work?
I don't remember Road Work. I read them all, but I don't remember Road Work.
Well, I'll tell you, Road Work is a novel by Stephen King, published in 1981.
You're so aware of this.
Yeah, the story takes place in an unnamed Midwestern city in 73 to 74, and grieving over the death of his son and the disintegration of his marriage, a man is driven to mental instability when he learns that both his home and workplace will be demolished to make way for an extension to an interstate highway.
So it's Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
Yeah, right. Falling Down, starring Michael Douglas.
If my memory serves correct.
Yeah.
I think that's what it's about.
Yeah, I mean, you're just spitballing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, these kids, as we're introduced to them one by one, it's uncanny how it, like, it's...
Oh, we haven't seen it. Just Georgie's seen it.
Yeah, we haven't... Yeah, shut up.
Duh.
Yeah. But that's the thing, is like, he does... Whatever this, which the new Skarsgård,
Bill,
is that his name? Bill.
Yes.
Oh, well, that works out.
Real quick, going back to the school shooting book.
Yeah.
There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 school shootings or attempted school shootings that are linked to the book.
Yikes! Yes.
That like the kids had copies of the book.
Oh, that's what I'm saying.
Or had written the one kid wrote an essay about the book.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm saying. Like, I can't imagine anyone would have thought that was a good idea because, you know, if this gets published, like, people are going to cling to it.
Yeah, but no school shootings happened for 20 years.
It says in 1997, a kid shot 8 fellow students at a prayer meeting in West Paducah, Kentucky.
I vaguely remember that.
He had a copy of Rage within the Richard Bachman omnibus in his locker. This was the incident that moved King to allow the book to go out of print.
Ah. Mm-hmm. So, like, you know what? We're good.
Oh, yeah.
Let it go.
I mean, I would connect killings like that way more to this book than to like a video game like Doom
or Marilyn Manson.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
Somebody just put an interview with him on Phil Donahue, and he lights Phil Donahue up in the most eloquent way possible.
He's a smart guy.
He's super smart. Like, he asked him about the name. He was like, where does that name come from? And he was just... And
merging sex and violence. Like,
that's exactly what he says.
It couldn't be more obvious. And everybody in the band...
They all have names like that.
Have a name where it's a sex symbol's name,
first name, and a
serial killer surname.
Right.
So Twiggy Ramirez.
There's a Bundy. But yeah, so he goes... He's just like, these are the two biggest cultural icons in the 70s, and like he's like, the dichotomy of the violence and the sex is something that I found very fascinating. And Donahue's just like, what happened? What?
Yeah.
I didn't know he could do that. We're going to go to commercial. We'll be right back. Everybody off stage. No, I don't. I mean, the last part of it, but yeah. So, and then we flash forward a year. Pennywise gets a hold of Georgie, and I forgot that he bites Georgie's arm off, and the kid plays it perfectly. Like, he's crawling away.
There's a
woman like up on a porch who I think in the book was like a mailman who saw, well, like the last time the Georgie was seen.
Someone saw it, yeah.
And then it's gone. Like, it reaches out. It was super creepy. So like another track, like a drone shot where Georgie's kind of crawling away, and it's all shot from above.
Yeah,
and
so
you
good.
See the long hand come out from underneath the sewer and pull him back in.
Amazing imagery.
The movie starts.
It's so good. And this is the first 5 minutes of the film.
Yeah.
The first 5 minutes is just like credits, Bill's making the boat. Then Georgie goes out with the boat, and it literally goes down the sewer right after that. You meet Pennywise and he kills him. Like, you see that. They don't hide Pennywise.
Nope.
Like, he comes out of the shadow immediately. It's not like he talks to him for 10 minutes in the shadow and Georgie dies off camera.
Right.
You Pennywise see full front of his
I
face.
I think a lot of this is the Fukunawa script, because I know that there was concern about the veracity of his script and they weren't really sure if it was tonally what they wanted. But I feel like this scene is part of his script.
Well, the first script I've read,
yeah,
kept the tween gang bang,
which
I don't even think that was his.
I mean,
though.
It's just yeah, it's yeah. one of
and
the
they
things,
do a great job of figuring that out.
Yeah, they. I mean, they just
it's
skip
one
it.
Of the
they,
like, kind of yeah. like there's a kiss. And then it's like, yeah, we're good.
I thought she was going to go around and kiss on all of them.
Which yeah. would have been like, I was like.
And I thought that was going to be
yeah.
how their end run.
I did as well.
Yeah.
But they don't.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. I'm good with that.
But it's
good
one
with
of the things that's
it.
Like, it sort of sours the book.
It does.
Yeah.
And
it would sour this movie.
And Stephen King.
And the giant spider also sours the book.
It does.
That definitely sours
it. It shows you how good.
It's like this
came,
is a John Peters movie.
It shows you how good what came before was in the book.
Right.
Yeah.
That those two things that you're just like. Dang it. Really? That's what we're doing?
Yeah. It's the thing that like kept me from ever wanting to reread the book. So I'm just like, ugh.
It's so good until you get to that part.
Just, yeah.
And then like, it loses it completely. So we jump forward a year and we see all of our main characters are pretty much popping up all over the place. You've got Bill and Richie and...
So Bill was in Midnight Stan. Special.
Oh, he was?
Mm-hmm, with Michael Shannon. He's grown up a lot. That IMDb headshot, he's a lot older now, right?
Yeah.
He's skinnier, you know, but that's what he looked like a couple years ago.
Okay.
So he was in Midnight Special. He's also on a television show, I think. I can't remember which one.
Yeah, the Midnight Special was a television show.
Well, not on that one. And
Richie is the kid from Stranger Things.
He's the main kid from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Who is so good in this movie. He's hilarious.
He's awesome. That kid.
That's amazing.
It's such a different character than when he played on Stranger Things. Because in Stranger Things, he's kind of like the mousy kid that is the leader of the group. But in this one, he's able to
be. He's a smart ass in this one.
And he's hilarious.
And the interesting part is that they were halfway through production of this film when Stranger Things came out on Netflix. So his casting in Stranger Things is similar tone-wise as they are.
Yeah.
Had no impact on him getting this role.
Interesting.
Just total coincidence.
Okay.
You know, it's like, because the kids, it's such a similar dynamic, and I'm sure that they were influenced by it. You know,
That's
not
funny.
Like Stranger Things.
Oh, it was influenced by everything.
Right.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's not like you could say that they invented the tone, but still, it's funny that he was in that show.
Oh, yeah.
And then a year later, you get this.
He's great.
Stranger Things. I mean, it's like, and I don't think they like
come on
veiled
two.
Any of their.
Well, they own that.
Oh yeah,
they're
yeah.
like it's Stranger Things is absolutely Stephen King meets Steven Spielberg.
I would say meets John Carpenter.
And
all those, sprinkle a little Carpenter in there.
But I mean,
yeah.
it's you know, but they did. They absolutely own it.
Yeah, I'm so excited for season 2.
Yeah.
Bring it on. It was good. We also meet Eddie and Stanley, who were also good. Like I like
Stanley is young Peter Quill. From the Guardians movies.
Oh,
yeah.
I knew he looked familiar.
Like,
but
these kids have been in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
Some bigger roles than others, like Bill in what's his face? That you just
boy, what a good thing for your actor's role. Because that
no movie, crap,
you had to do some. That kid had to do some heavy lifting.
Yeah. Which one? Stanley?
The one that was in Guardians.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
Young Peter
yeah.
Quill.
Yeah. So, I mean, really, it's interesting that
feel
these...
feel bad for that kid.
These are not...
Unfortunately, Stanley's...
these are not names, so to speak. And yeah, they don't draw, you know, ticket sales.
Right.
But these are experienced actors. These kids are
Although,
good.
Honestly, I mean, how many kid actors are names or can draw
Right, that's how they start.
I don't think they have the Disney kids now.
Yeah, like the closest you would get would be kids from Disney shows, which would be wildly inappropriate. Yes, for
what I mean, though, is sometimes with a movie, it's really nice to have no names because then you don't see that character from the other thing you're familiar with.
Sure.
So these kids aren't names, but they're also not newbies.
Right.
So they're good actors, but you don't know them by name. So
they're established working actors.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. Right. And so you get the quality with these, but again, they are these kids. I don't see them necessarily as these other, and especially because they're still growing. So like, again, a Midnight Special, this kid filmed that 2 or 3 years earlier.
Right.
He's also in Book of Henry, that movie that they say lost. Mm. It's Colin Trevorrow.
Yeah, it is Colin Trevorrow.
So he was just in Book of Henry's the main kid. So anyway.
His career's
Not affected.
No, not good. None whatsoever.
No, no. So he's been in a lot recently. I mean, right. This kid is getting some big roles.
So, yeah. So we're introduced to the Losers Club for the most part.
Beverly is really good. She's only been in more art house films. I tried to look up what she's been in. Nothing, no wide releases, but she's been in a few films herself. I thought she was excellent.
She was fantastic.
Especially since she has to play the one girl among all the guys, right? Like, right. I just think that takes a little more.
She was just the right amount of cute.
Yes. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That could have gone one of two ways.
But she was cute.
Right. She has a very
childish.
And she has a very untraditional look about her.
Yes.
And so she wasn't like this super cute girl, but right. She was
like, no, I get why they all fell in love with her.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep. Yeah. There was a lot of Molly Ringwald.
I can see that for sure. Yeah.
Definitely.
And not Amy Adams.
Oh, she's totally Amy Adams. Get out of town.
Oh, yeah. She
looks and sounds,
but it's the sound.
She does sound. I can see that. Yeah.
I know that they, you know, we can't assume that they were thinking that, but I was like,
stop putting Amy Adams
in
everything. Or put her in everything. I don't care. That's fine either way.
She'll be okay.
She looks just like Amy Adams.
Facial feature
wise, too.
Her voice, I was like, her voice sounds a lot like.
Yeah. And she can play kind of like. Amy Adams can play kind of like a little trashy and weathered too if she needs to.
She was in The Fighter?
Yeah,
she was the girlfriend of The Fighter and then kind of in
Sunshine Cleaning.
Yeah, you know.
And so I mean that's the thing, like the trajectory of her character is not a pleasant one.
No, it's not. No. It does not. Yeah. That's the other thing I will say is all of the adults, you know, sometimes in these movies the adults are the voice sometimes are the voice of reason in there. In this movie,
they're
every
terrible.
Single adult that these kids have interactions with are assholes.
Right.
And, every last one of them.
And
I will give Bill's dad a pass because
his name's Mike's dad or grandfather. I like that they didn't play him as like, you know, I mean, his advice, it's harsh.
Yeah.
But they didn't play him.
But it's
him
not wrong.
No.
Right.
And they didn't play him as abusive.
No.
He wasn't
a
jerk. He was trying to teach him and help him for sure.
And obviously, you know, because of race, he's got a little, and age, he's got more insight into the world and how the world is. So I thought that was refreshing that they didn't do that with his character.
Right.
And but, I think they're related to the caretaker and the Shining.
I think you're right.
I know there that is, story intersects somehow.
Yes.
It's been a long time.
And also, like the police chief in this movie, he's the one who set it on. He's the guy that set the bar on fire, right? Isn't he in the story? I think he might have been because the son, the bully of the movie says he's like, man, I wish
he
I could have seen that.
PTSD in the book.
Okay, but I'm pretty sure he was
World
there.
World War II, I think.
Well, that makes sense.
I mean, it would almost had to be. It would have been
the 50s.
But I mean, it's. I mean, they. I thought it was interesting. They made him the. I don't know. I guess he was the police chief.
But
you know, it's like you're watching him. You know, he's a bully.
To his son,
and his son is
rolls downhill.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, and this may be me being naive. I know kids can be mean. Were kids that mean to carve letters into kids' stomachs and stuff back? I mean, that is. Like,
I don't know.
I feel like Bowers was insane.
Like punching, kicking, stabbing, whatever.
Yeah,
like
Bowers was a flat out psychopath.
Sociopath. Yeah.
But I definitely think kids were meaner back then. Like kids, I mean, like I see all
like
this stuff.
Violently mean to.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot more fighting.
There was a lot more fighting. And there was a lot less concern about bullying.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
You know, where nowadays everything is bullying.
Right.
You know, like I think it's maybe the pendulum swung a little too far the other way.
I would agree.
Where it's like when a kid hears something that they don't like, it's bullying. And
it's called life.
And it's like, well, I don't know about that.
Because
culture was not PC yet, and
sure.
I don't even mean that in the derogatory way. Think people dismiss political correctness, and again, that pendulum can swing too far as well. But I mean, I remember when I was a kid, everything was
that was gay.
You're a faggot. That's gay.
Yep.
Like everything. I mean that. I mean I said it.
I just said it.
But I mean I said it. I mean
it was in our vernacular.
It was like
then,
I remember growing up. Like you would, when you were a kid and. you'd see a friend and you'd be like, hey fag, what's up? Like,
yep,
you just didn't even think about it. Yep. You know?
Yeah.
Or that's gay. That's gay was
that
a,
was a lot.
I said that in
the 90s.
Yeah.
That was real.
I said
bad.
That a lot. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that was very commonplace. And
or
so,
or don't be.
Yeah.
You know.
But right. Yeah, I guess I was more, I mean, I was, again, I know the bullying exists and it used to be worse, but I guess with the like kicking and knifing people and stuff, I was just like, man,
I think
this
that's
is,
to the nth degree. I don't think okay. that, I
it
mean,
is, but I saw it.
Yeah.
Did you? Yeah. Yeah, I just wondered if that was,
I think
I
also,
the 70s.
Yeah.
I think so. I think also, I don't know if it's, you know, I don't know how other towns are structured or other city or other states, right? But St. Louis, the way we're structured is, you know, we have school districts and the mm-hmm. school districts are based on where you live.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like these days there's a lot less mixing of class within school districts. So like it's become a lot more stratified in that if you can afford to live in the good school district.
I gotcha.
So you're going to self-select. And so where back then I felt like it was more, there were more various levels of income,
all
of household
place.
Income
yeah.
within school districts.
Well, yeah, right. We're also saying like this is a smaller town, so
right.
there's a school.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're dealing with a town where there's a
so
public high school. Rich kids, poor kids,
right.
they
all
go
of
to
it.
This school.
All,
and
right.
so
all
we're,
of the above.
We're
yes.
in it's in a city like ours, or bigger cities in general, I mean, there are dozens of high schools.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
It's funny, like, talking to my wife.
Is she from here?
No, she's from Jeff City.
Okay.
So Jeff
okay.
City has a high school.
Right, right.
Okay, and, so. Like, everything feeds into that high school. Mm-hmm. And, like, that's why you see things like Friday Night Lights, when it's, like, the whole town goes crazy for the high school football team, because the whole town went to that high school.
Right.
And,
right.
like, they talked a couple years back about trying to break Jeff City's high school up into two high schools, and she was like, that would be a really good idea, and they could do that because the school's massive. And
huge.
I was like, never will happen.
Right.
And I'm like, and it won't happen for one reason. Football. I'm like, they
you don't
want
right. two teams.
They don't want two football teams.
Yeah.
Their team won't go to state anymore.
Split your market.
Because right. you'll split all the kids. And I'm like, it'll never happen. We're here. It's not
good
an
Lord.
Issue. Not
yeah.
an issue.
No, we've got high schools all over the place.
Right.
Yeah. You throw a rock and you hit a high school.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. So it's the
school's
last
out for summer.
It's the last day. Yeah, Alice Cooper's school's out. No, it doesn't. And we're introduced. This is where all of our kids are together, and they're just, you know, they're
yeah.
dumping,
we see the band of
dumping
misfits.
Out the, and
yeah,
it's great.
There's
like,
a core band of misfits, and then they slowly add to
their
yeah.
Their group gets bigger and bigger. And I thought the core
simply for survival.
Correct. I thought the core group of Richie, Bill, Eddie, and Stanley, the charisma and the what's the word?
Chemistry,
but also like. Just their ease,
je ne sais quoi.
They're eased with each other, like the way they just like kind of, you can tell that these kids may have probably been like hanging out offset, you know, like just mm-hmm. the way they melded together as a group worked.
They really
seem
like
insanely well. Yeah, they felt yeah. really yeah. good as friends.
Yeah,
we're also introduced to Bauer and his group of cronies, and it's just
jerks.
Oh god, they're awful. But we're told that they're going to this place to go look for clues as to where Georgie has gone. So we go down to the sewers, and this is a great.
There's been some research.
There's been a little bit of research, right? So Bill's dad, I guess, is somewhere in the city, like does something for the city.
Like city planner.
Where he's got yeah, the, he's a city planner, work for the sewer district.
Right. He's got maps up, and
yeah.
he has built the. Bill has built like this. Intricate system of tunnels where he's just like, look, if he fell down this sewer
using
drain,
hammer trails,
yeah, right, which I thought was great.
Yeah, that
yeah.
was great.
Yeah, if he has fallen down here, this is where he's going. And
yeah.
of course the dad finds it
yeah.
and it's just like, this is what the scene where like the dad is kind of an asshole, but at the same time he is also grieving with the loss of his son.
Yeah.
And he's just like,
he wants to move forward. It's
he
been
does.
A year.
And he's like, get that down and, before your mother
yeah,
sees it. And
yeah.
you know, Bill,
I get it. I don't think the dad's being a jerk.
I think
the dad's hurt.
I think what they do is a yeah. brilliant job of letting you see the dad from Bill's
kid's perspective.
Yes.
Sure.
Right. So he does come off like an
yeah.
asshole. We
yeah.
know,
but
as,
we get it.
We get
yeah.
as adults, we see it. But when you look at it from
right.
Bill's perspective,
they never make them caricatures. Even when you've got like what's the bully dad?
Is that Henry?
And then you've got the also what's his name's mom?
Eddie's mom.
Yeah, Eddie's mom. Where it's like they give them a moment where they humanize them enough that you
right.
kind of, and you also know the history of this town.
Right.
It's like at their core, whether or not they remember or not.
Right.
They do fear, or at least Eddie's mom.
Adults
fears
are,
for her child,
which
so they
she
don't
takes
make
it
them,
to another level.
Yeah, they
but.
Don't make them. They don't take them out of the movie and make them sort of like weird
monsters,
caricatures.
Yeah, I agree.
It works within the tone of the film.
Yeah,
right, right. Certainly. So also,
well, hadn't the adults kind of cut a deal?
That's what I thought.
Like I remember, like the adults had like kind of cut a deal with the monster.
Well, Pennywise even like, touches on that.
Like, we'll feed you every 27 years.
Right.
Is that right? Leave us alone.
Yeah. What?
Like. Yeah. Like it, like not even like the mayor sat down and signed a contract,
no,
but there was kind of almost like an implied agreement, a gentleman's agreement,
yeah.
if you
it's
will.
Like, yeah,
that
it's,
like
it's literally like Passover.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. You know?
And he was kind of wasn't he also kind of it was kind of cherry picking the poorer kids,
uh-huh.
the black kids.
Ah,
yeah.
Like it was like. You know, and Derry is kind of, I mean, it's the focal point of Stephen King and the Stephen King shared universe.
Right.
Yes.
Because it is.
Yeah.
You know, in the books. Yeah. Like, I mean, man, I bet you
I think they're all
60 to 70% of his horror themed books
are all tied
eventually
together.
Tie back to this community.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, and Maine, but especially Derry, you know.
Are we to think that the parents had a run in when they were kids?
Makes sense
with Pennywise or
potentially it. Because you
I
know,
got that from Eddie's mom.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm wondering is if they kind of know what's going on because they were that same age, 27 years.
But you also need to remember and have you read the book?
I have
okay.
not.
So, but and they touch on this in the film. Like at the very end, they're talking about how they're already forgetting what happened.
Yes,
right.
Like that's why they cut their hands and take a blood oath
because so don't forget
is a way to be like no something significant happened here
right.
and when the adults come in or when they come in as adults then the kid like I think it's only Ben that really kind of remembers mm-hmm.
do they come back
like he's
for
kind
Stanley's
of the,
funeral
I feel like they come back for somebody's funeral
yeah
and
because Stanley commits suicide
hangs himself
okay yeah and
yeah.
Spoilers and,
sorry
yeah. and so. And it's kind of taken that he's kind of tormented by what
correct,
happened.
Correct.
And Ben's kind of the historian of the group.
Which is what he is in this as
yeah.
well. Yeah.
And so
Mike's not the historian, even though in the book Mike is
well,
the one that
I think Mike knows the history, but
Mike
Ben,
knows the his but Ben's the historian of the group.
Okay.
Like the group's history.
Yeah.
Like,
oh, okay.
And I think he's the one that most remembers
I
it.
I see.
Okay.
And Bill's kind of like the
leader, de facto.
And he's
leader.
Kind of the Stephen King character
mm-hmm.
and then Richie becomes a stand-up comedian
which it was Harry Anderson right
Harry that was Anderson. Harry
yeah.
Anderson yeah
yeah
but
or Bill Hader
I think that would be a great choice
yeah.
yeah but I forgot where I was starting with that
talking
but.
About why the parents would have forgotten
oh because I think that you know if they went through it their memories have kind of been
oh,
wiped too and I mean haven't you
sense.
Ever thought I mean, and even beyond that haven't you ever thought back on something that happened in your childhood I'm like did that happen like that or
is that how I remember
I'm
I
merging two memories
yeah.
or
I just can't
you know.
Imagine forgetting the trauma
but if Pennywise has if there's something in Pennywise's magic
I think it's a
powers
right.
that
oh.
I think it's a combination of it happens to you as you get older,
uh-huh.
and Pennywise
has a
is
something
is
yeah.
doing something.
Oh, okay,
yeah. right,
okay.
right, right.
Yeah, I think it's kind of a twofer.
And there's a lot of weirdness in the book that I think they'll touch on in the next movie, where it's like it goes back to ancient rituals.
Yeah,
and stuff
right,
like that.
Right, right.
I mean, it gets
wacky.
There's some stuff.
Yeah,
that it's
hopefully
like,
they'll figure it out.
That they didn't. They kept this fairly
tight,
boxed in.
Yeah,
yeah. My
was a smart move.
My biggest complaint about this movie ultimately is I wish it were two movies, just the kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Sure.
Yeah.
And I wish it wasn't being told chronologically.
Bounce back and forth?
The book toggles back and forth. Mm-hmm.
So that's what they wanted to do with the original.
Probably.
And that's what they're...
And I like that because what happens is, since the adults don't remember, like, a lot of the book is like...
Flashbacks?
Is like them, like, being confused about things that occurred. And then the kid's story would start to reveal itself as to what they went through. It would start to illuminate some of these relationships that they were having as adults that you're like, why are they treating each other like that?
Well, what will be interesting is, like, when they make the sequel, because they're going to, it's already been greenlit.
Heck yeah.
But if they don't do, like, sort of an alternate edit where they can do somebody will do it.
Somebody will do it for you. Topher Grace will help us out.
It's like getting the Marvel edit where they edit Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Ant-Man, edit everything chronologically.
I think we'll see that. I hope they maybe consider it, but if they don't,
you know, Warner Brothers does put out stupid Blu-rays where you get a 9-hour cut of Watchmen.
It would not surprise me at some point to see a director's cut version with extra scenes,
it's like a 3.5-hour cut,
and spliced together to let it toggle back and forth like the book.
That'd be kind of cool.
I think that'd be very cool. I think that would be the better way to tell the story.
I think from a production standpoint, this was the smart play.
Yeah,
because.
It's the cheaper way to get this movie made.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why this movie was only in the 30s.
I think part two is going to be in the 70s to 80s.
Well, because you're going to have some big names. But I think they're going to be able to, because of this movie, they have the clout to make that movie and to get more people on board.
Yeah. Right.
Who would have been I don't know. Horror's not my thing.
They couldn't have gotten their dream cast.
No.
Where now it's
they might be able to.
They're probably going to get it.
Where now it's like, oh, you made the first one. You made it well. This isn't the Dark Tower.
Right. Yeah, right.
I'll sign on now. You're doing it properly.
They couldn't get the cast to toggle back and forth without this movie.
You and they have Real Spoilers League of Show Shares. And there might be a fan cast up right now that you can take a look at.
And they can afford bigger names.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe not even names that are massive,
right?
But big names.
I think this is a perfect case of, I think, B-level stars make more sense.
Yes.
Like, you want names, but you don't, like, I know one of the ones you have, Chris Pratt, which I think would be all wrong.
Chris Pratt is
one,
Ben.
You could never afford him. Two.
Not now, yeah.
But two, I think that he's too big of a name. It would be, you'd be like, oh, it's Chris Pratt.
Not right,
I think Bill Hader is perfect for, I forget which character you have for. But
Richie.
Like, yeah,
Richie.
Yeah, but I think that's perfect, you know?
I said Andrew Garfield is Bill. But I feel like he looks too young.
Like, I know that he is not that far away from the age that they would need to be.
Yeah.
But for a guy that was playing Peter Parker 2 years
that's
ago,
true, yeah.
Like, I think that's, you know.
I think it was Tom Hiddleston as Stan Lee. And somebody said Joseph Gordon-Levitt. I was like, yeah, you can do that stunt casting because he's not going to be in it very long. But that's fine.
Why don't we go to the league and further discuss that? We better get into the story.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, fair enough.
So we're also introduced to Beverly, who is, she's the kind of, she has the... reputation of sleeping around, and these girls are awful to her. And she, and I like how smart she is, because she knows. So she's in the stall, and she knows what's coming. She just doesn't know when. So as soon as, like, they're filling this garbage bag full of water, and they
can full of water and the trash.
Yeah, right. So as soon as she's automatically got her little trapper keeper up over her head, and she automatically knows what's coming. Then we're introduced to Ben, who is like the heavy set nerdy kid,
new kid.
That was great. The new kids on the block jokes.
Yeah. Oh my god, it was so good.
Great.
So she's like, "What do you?" You know, we see Beverly, and she's like, "What are you listening to?" He's like, it was just in there, and it's New Kids on the Block." And she was like, "Really, New Kid?" Like, yeah, I thought it was. And then he yells, like, as she's walking away, he yells a New Kids reference.
Because she hits him with
"Hang Tough." Right. Right.
Yeah.
And then he yells something back, and he was like, "That's another one."
Yeah. And then later, when she sees him again, she's like, "Oh, you got the right stuff."
Yeah, you got the right stuff. Yeah. Oh no, they're in his room.
Oh,
and
poster.
Like, it's on the back, like, she's closing his door.
Yeah.
And he looks at her, and she looks at him.
He's kind of like, no.
And he's just like, oh god, oh god, oh god. And then she just like puts the door back.
Yeah.
Like, it's that kind of interactions that are brilliant.
It was a cute moment.
Yeah. So they realize that they're going to this. I think at this point, some of them have seen Pennywise.
Yeah, we start getting.
I think Ben sees him in the library.
And I think this is where the movie would benefit from if
the bounce kids
back and forth,
bounce back and forth, yeah. or if the kids had two parts,
yeah,
because it started to feel a little and
a
then
a little rushed,
and then
it's definitely compressed
for a 2 hour movie though. I could see where
it's good, but I will also say I've seen Stephen King adaptations that are very compressed,
right?
Yes,
and
The Dark Tower, you mean?
Yeah, and many others, and this. Even though it had that feeling, it was not to. It was still handled much better than it typically
is. This was the most unnerving scene for me in the entire movie.
What's
so
that?
Ben is going through the history of Deary. There's a woman in the background. There's the old librarian is in the background, and you can see her.
Now, is she currently ministrating?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. I can't 100% be sure that she wasn't, but. She's out of focus, but you know that it's her, but she never moves. Mm-hmm. Like she is stationary and you can sort of see, like, I'm pretty sure it's Pennywise as this woman, but you're so focused on Ben that you don't realize how menacing this thing behind Ben is until it's too late. And you I realize because they do two cuts, right? They're cutting to the paper. They're cutting to him going through the book.
Yeah.
They're cutting back up. And you realize she hasn't moved. Like, she's exactly where she was. It was the most unnerving thing. Even more unnerving than the decapitated kid that's chasing Ben down the stairs.
Yeah.
I don't know why that freaked me out the way that it did, but it did. So Ben kind of looks out the window, and he sees our kids are going to this cutout for the sewer. So they get down there, and this entire time, Betty Ripson, who is a character that has been missing, but she's referenced a lot leading up to this. So they go down in the sewer, and another great interactions with Richie and Eddie, where he's just like, that's gray water. Oh, no. Like, I'm not going in there. You're out of your mind. And they're like, what's gray water? And he's like, it's piss and pecan. Like, no. And so Richie's got like a little stick, and he's just, you know, it's very funny. Like, yeah. They're very
egging each other,
chill with each other.
Did when you were a kid, did you play in like not the sewers, but the drainage
absolutely.
Stuff? Me too.
I called it. We called it the creek.
Yeah, yeah. So do we. Yeah,
and we would play and we'd jump around the creek and run across the creek. At one time, as a kid, I fell into the creek and
got
I went
a staph
home
infection.
And my mom answered the door and I was covered in
muck.
Whatever.
Muckety
and
muck.
She screamed and I had to, and I like, she hosed me off on the porch because it was like.
You're not bringing that in my house.
And I still like it looks like a creek, but it wasn't a creek.
Was it River De Pere?
No.
All right.
And I don't think ours
was Maryland Heights, but it wasn't a creek.
Ours weren't waste. It was like drainage.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was drainage.
Okay.
But it was we called it the creek.
Right. Yeah, we
did
the same thing.
But a creek is a naturally occurring thing. And this was
creeks aren't made out of concrete.
Right,
exactly.
Right.
But that's what
the one we have that was close to me is River De Pere.
Yeah.
And it looked like something out of Terminator 2. Like that's what
yeah,
that
totally
one looks like.
Yeah. The same one that Peter Cetera drives down in Stay the Night video.
Yeah. No, I was thinking like Grease, but yeah, that's fine.
Also Terminator 2.
Terminator 2. Yeah.
So our kids are down there.
I was just going to say real quick, like we're getting to a kind of a tipping point in movies where they're not going to be able to do flashbacks anymore. Because it will just be kids sitting around playing on their phones.
I know. It's such a shame.
Like, kids don't go out and get in these crazy, stupid adventures. Like not that we got in crazy, stupid adventures.
But we did
stupid
stuff.
But we did stuff like this. And that could have led to this, theoretically, for a story. Where these days, you'd be like, what kid leaves their house?
To Richie's point, it's summertime. They should be outside playing.
Yeah, that both of them, Stanley and Richie, both are like, it's summertime. Why are we doing this?
So Henry goes and slices up Ben. He catches him. Him and his friends catch him outside.
And Bev kind of steps. Oh, is this where?
This is where he starts carving the
this
name.
Is where, yeah, this is where Ben kind of meets them because.
But how do they get to Ben? Oh, Ben runs away.
Ben runs away.
Ben runs away. That's right.
And Henry,
they're chasing him.
And he like basically just lands on the scene.
Right. And then the Losers Club picks him up and kind of brings him into the group.
Yeah.
And then
And then they run into Mike outside of the.
They haven't gotten to Mike yet because Henry and his cronies
are
beating up on Mike.
Yeah,
that's how they.
Bev, they're at the. So all of our Losers Club up to this point have gone to the quarry, and this is this. What a great
great scene where they're all standing there in their tidy whities, and I will give the character the actor that played Ben, like, that dude owned it.
Yeah.
Like, he's a big boy.
Yeah.
And he, like, that's legit. Mm-hmm. But the Bev pulls up and she's like, you know, don't be a pussy, basically.
Yeah. She runs and jumps.
Well, she takes her, like, romper off, and she's in her bra and underwear, and all of the guys just stop.
Yeah.
And look at her. And, of, you know, 13-year-olds, and she immediately, she takes off, and she runs.
She didn't have internet porn back then.
Right, right.
So this is the closest they've probably gotten to seeing a naked girl.
You can hear Eddie go, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And she's jumping off, and then, obviously, they all... Did you get the turtle reference?
Yeah, they see a turtle. Yeah. There's another turtle later.
Oh, is there?
Yeah.
A fake one.
There's a Lego turtle.
Yeah, Lego.
Oh. Bill's holding a Lego turtle.
And drops it.
And drops it.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, I think it was such a great, believable interaction. And again, they focus on the kids and they make you really believe that this is a young group of kids.
And they make you care about these kids.
Exactly.
I love when they're done swimming and she's just laying there herself and they're all just staring at her.
And then she kind of like slowly turns her head and they're all just like, no.
They've never seen a real girl in her bra and underwear.
No.
Like,
yeah. No. Absolutely
just
not.
Right there laying in front of them.
Yeah.
Just,
yeah.
Literally 5 feet away. And like I said, it's pre-internet porn.
Yeah.
It's probably the first outside of a Sears catalog.
Yeah.
A real life girl.
It's believable. And it's such a funny interaction.
And that's the thing is, like, she's built like they don't oversex her. Like,
no,
she is built like a 14, 15 year old.
Right.
And I appreciate that. If this is somebody else's movie, a less talented filmmaker,
Michael Bay.
I mean, I wasn't going to say that. I'll say it. It's Michael Bay.
Broverlord.
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 It's going to be the Megan Fox scene on the back of a motorcycle, you know? But she's pretty comfortable. And we know that she's got an awful home life.
Yeah.
Her abusive father. What a creep.
Oh,
every
God.
Time he was on screen, was that not the most uncomfortable?
I want to say he was great. Because he was so effing creepy.
Oh, yeah, no, the actor's great. The character, though, is so creepy.
He's so awful.
Yeah, what a great actor.
Are you still my little girl? And it's just like...
And I thought they handled it really well to where you knew exactly what was going on.
But you didn't have to hit
it. Without them just, like, turning it into an after-school special.
Right.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, they really say it all without saying anything.
Right.
Yeah.
So Bev gets home and she cuts all her hair off, and this is, you know, whatever.
Which I thought the dad was going to go berserk. His interaction with her when he runs into her later is just creepy, and he's like, what'd you do to your hair?
You look like a boy.
But I thought he was going to flip out that
she was like, yeah, that's the point.
Right.
Stop finding me attractive.
Exactly.
That's what I'm trying to accomplish here. So I'm trying to think. Now Mike is bringing meat, I guess it's goat meat. Or I guess it doesn't matter. It's meat in general. And he sees Henry and his cronies, and
he knows lambs, weren't they?
Oh, maybe it was lamb. Yeah.
This is a really creepy imagery of the hands outside the butcher.
So in
the
initial trailer, in the original movie, I feel like somebody was afraid of werewolves. I feel like
it's because they have nards.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying, Tom.
In the book,
they have no.
Stop it.
In the book, it takes the form of like the creature from the Black Lagoon.
Okay.
And it takes sort of like the classic monsters because kids
in the
were
50s,
that's what you would have been
that's
afraid of.
What, right.
Yeah,
that's, yeah.
So I think in the it's Richie maybe that was afraid of I'm a Teenage Werewolf, starring the guy from Little House on the Prairie,
Michael.
Yeah,
Anton.
Yeah.
So they gave him the picture in this one. Is that or Stanley, sorry.
Not Stan Lee. He's not in this
Stan.
Movie.
No, Stan.
You're the one that keeps saying Stan Lee.
Stan
he doesn't have a cameo, Kevin. No.
Excelsior.
Yeah, so when initially in this trailer, I thought that was a... So this is the 80s.
It's 1989.
So like Dawn of the Dead and Day of the Dead are in there. So
yeah,
I thought there
was a continuity error that bothered me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, in the theater in the background. They were showing Batman, which opened June 23rd.
Yeah.
So there's no way that they were still in school on June 23rd because you're seeing it on the last day of school.
Right.
So no.
Okay.
And then Lethal Weapon 2, which opened in July.
Ah.
So
they had Nightmare on Elm Street, too.
I think
Nightmare on Elm Street 5 or something. Yeah.
I don't remember when that opened, but But yeah, but I was like, but Bat, because Batman had that iconic poster, sure, which is the image, bat. And then June 23rd.
Yeah.
And so I was just like, no way. No way.
Excuse me, I'd like to call. So, I'd like to bring in my nerd card. Yes. Please. Yeah. I'm going to push up my glasses.
So for Mike's fear, when he sees all the hands and it's a fire, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that referencing the thing that Ben talks about?
His parents died in a fire.
His parents, he was in that fire. His parents died in a house fire, but there was also a fire at the Black nightclub.
Right.
Okay. So I kind of felt like it kind of checked those two boxes.
Yeah, yeah. So I think the sheriff is responsible for the burning down of the Black nightclub.
Okay.
I think.
So like in the book.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was also, the same thing would happen if he ever heard Great White.
Too soon.
Too soon?
Yeah.
Station nightclub fire? Oh,
yeah,
no?
Yeah,
anybody?
No.
Too soon.
All right, fair enough.
Jeez, Tom.
I almost had to testify in that trial. Did I ever tell you that?
What?
In the Great White trial?
Yeah.
Why?
They tried to play Pops,
yeah,
and which is a club I worked at the time, and I didn't book them because we couldn't come to a financial agreement. But they would have been scheduled to play there a week after
the fire.
The fire.
It was in New York, right?
It was in Rhode Island.
Okay.
When they called to sell me the show, they said, "Like, oh, I forget the guitar player's name. I think it was Mark something
Ruffalo."
No. But they were like, oh, you know, we got Jack Russell's the singer, Mark whoever's back in the band playing guitar. It's a great show. There's pyro. You'll love it. And I was like, well, pyro's not really a selling point. people don't typically buy tickets for pyro, you know, unless it's Kiss.
Right, right.
And I'm just like, and we just couldn't figure out the money. So the paper called to interview me about the fire because we were the closest club. We were a similar club that did a lot of the same bands.
I remember that.
And so I gave a quote where I said, well, when they tried to sell me the show, they said there was pyro. And so the nightclub owners were saying that they were not told that there would be pyrotechnics.
Oh, really?
And so then I got a new job. I left Pops. I went to work at the what is now called the Scott Trade Center.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. And it's
so weird. We were there at the same time.
I guess we were.
Yeah.
And so I get my phone rings at the Scott Trade Center. Like, so not at Pops.
Right.
And it's the district attorney for the state of Rhode Island.
Oh, my God.
And he's like, hi, this is whoever. I'm the district attorney for the state of Rhode Island. I was like, I've never been to Rhode Island.
Like, would you like to buy season tickets to the St. Louis Blues?
And I swear to God, she looked 18. And and he's like, so we have a quote from you in the Post-Dispatch. And I was like, okay. And he's like, is that accurate? I'm like, yeah, absolutely. I remember. He's like, do you remember who you talked to? I'm like, I don't. It was the booking agent. But like, they absolutely said that. So because their defense was that they were never told that.
Right.
And I was like, that's bullshit. I'm like, they were totally told that. It was a selling point to them. They thought it would entice me to buy it. Like, they said it a couple times. Like, you could tell, like, when somebody's got their spiel that they always do, that they say all the time, like, broadcasting from a lush but not loud, you know? And, like, it just rolls off the tongue. I'm like, no. Like, and they were like, would you testify to that? And I was like, oh, man, like, I don't know if these guys are mobbed up. Like, I mean,
I have no clue what's going on.
You're
kind
of not involved in this at all.
And you're talking at this point, like, you're testifying in a murder trial, like, 150 counts of murder.
Yeah,
like, you know.
Did they charge them?
They did. They ended up settling, which is why I didn't have to testify. Okay. But I told the guy, I was like, well, you know, yeah, I'll testify. I'm like, but you need to pay to fly me up there. Like, I don't have the money to fly to Rhode Island.
Right.
And he's like, we'll put you up in a hotel. Yeah. We'll fly up here. And I was like,
you.
And then I was like, okay. And but then they cut a deal, so I didn't have to. Huh.
So that's crazy pants.
My brush with history.
Yeah, look at you.
So back to this movie.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So Mike starts. He sees the
fears
from the fire.
Yeah, Mike's. But then he also sees Bowers and his crew. And Bowers is just. He's obviously been taught. He's a racist.
Yeah.
And of course, Mike, his family has been living on the outskirts of Deary forever, and they keep saying, he's like, stay out of this town, get out of this town. They chase Mike into the woods, and they just happen to cross paths with the Losers Club. So the Losers Club is on one side of the river. These guys are, and they literally have
a rock fight.
Have a rock fight.
Like, I love it.
Yeah. Eddie goes, rock fight, and they're just hurling rocks from one side to the other.
It really shows the innocence of their age, and these are 13-year-old kids, and what would they do, you know? And they're not fighters, right?
No.
So it's like rock fight. That's
right.
So great.
Right. So then Mike joins the crew at this point. And like we said, I feel bad for Mike, the actor that played Mike, because he's given absolutely nothing to do.
Yeah.
But they rock the crap out of Henry.
They do. They
great
beat the bejesus out of all three of them.
This kid is such a jerk. And like you said, he's a psychopath. And it's like anytime he can get a comeuppance, it's
well,
it's
also,
like,
we should say that one of Mike or one of Bauer's crews goes missing.
Yeah.
He goes into the sewer looking for Mike. And runs
his
into
fear
Pennywise.
Was like zombies too. That kid saw basically zombies in the sewer.
I think so.
Because
yeah.
Everyone we learn is Pennywise feeds on their fears.
Correct.
So his imagery,
he has to get them fearful.
Yeah.
To fully enjoy the taste.
And so it's interesting that we learned that. So Mike's was the fire. I don't know what that kid's was. I guess maybe he was scared of zombies.
Maybe.
I think there were zombies in the sewer,
or
right?
Just
what
scared
else would you?
We just scared him with like the bodies that were down there in the sewer. Which we'll come to find there are bodies everywhere in that sewer.
Yeah.
Yeah. So now
they're all together.
They're all together. And the kids decide we need to figure this out, because they all start talking about how they've seen different things. Right. So Betty has seen her period.
Beverly.
Beverly. I'm sorry.
She's becoming a woman.
Right.
We
her period basically scares the bejesus out of her.
I think this was one of the coolest looking scenes in the entire movie.
It's tough because I've seen this scene before. You know what I mean? Like, it's the scene from Nightmare on Elm Street where Johnny Depp is sucked into a bed and then all the blood comes up.
But it still was.
But it's still a great scene.
It's effective.
Yeah. And then Bill
I
is,
love that. I mean, they are drenched in blood and covered. And the actress, she is so good when the kids find her. And
well, even like when the dad walks in. He's just like, what are you talking about?
That's true. Yeah, she's great with the interaction with the dad first. And then later she's explaining it and everything. And I just, it's such good acting. And then I also like how only the kids could see it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And then she's like, we can't leave it like this.
Yeah.
Like,
and they have the cleaning montage. Yeah.
And so Bill is scared of. He's scared of losing his Georgie.
Yeah.
So Georgie comes back. Right. He's haunted by Georgie.
And that again, that little kid, Bill White. You know,
oh man.
I know
that when he starts
like
going in, you'll float too. You'll float too. And then
that scene
goes crazy.
That, yeah.
Pants.
That first scene in the basement when he interacts with him and he's like, or he's like, Bill, why do you stop looking for me? And
it is
just heartbreaking. I just think that little actor is so good.
He was really good.
Yeah.
And then I think the fear of,
The
town itself, like Richie is afraid of clowns. Eddie's afraid of getting sick. So like his is he sees like a
he's a hypochondriac,
revolting leper.
Yeah.
And then Mike's is the fire.
A good example when we were talking about how everything was gay and like when he's going on about about like, oh yeah, I heard about this guy and he got AIDS and he touched somebody and he got like that.
AIDS scare big time.
Yeah,
in the 80s.
And I think by 89 that was kind of winding down, but probably not for kids.
Right.
But
he's talking about how he got AIDS. He's like, he drank from the same cup and blah,
right.
Blah.
Like that was
like that. Yeah, and kids didn't know, so they're just like, it's all like second, third, fourth hand hearsay.
Right.
Yeah.
And Stanley's scared of the woman in the artwork in his dad's office.
Which was also super creepy.
Oh my gosh, that was...
Playing the flute, like that was terrifying. And that's the thing is like, there's nothing in this movie that is scary. There is stuff that is creepy, and they build the tension around those things that make them creepy.
I'm 100% on board. It's not scary. It's creepy. The imagery is so creepy.
Yeah.
And visually, again, beautifully artistic shots, and the special effects are great. And I just think it's a beautiful looking film. But never was I scared. Never did I jump.
Right.
It was all expected, and I knew I was going to get some scares. So
there were a couple jump scares.
They were in there, but
they were earned.
Yeah.
And they were good jump scares.
The best one was Georgie, right? I remember Georgie was walking. He was in his yellow.
When he hits his head?
No. That was in the beginning. Georgie, when he's after he's been dead for a while, it's really dark, and I think Georgie's in the background, and they do a really loud.
Oh, sure, sure.
I just think that was
the
best.
That's the scene before they go down to the basement.
Okay, that's the best.
Yeah. He's running around in the house.
It's dark and creepy, and you see really quick, and it's the only time that I remember them doing a really loud sound jump scare.
Yeah.
It's the only time in the whole movie, but I was like, wow, that was creepy. I didn't jump, but
was
I was
good.
Like, that was effective. Was that was a good
was
one,
good.
Right?
Yeah, so the group gets together and they realize, so Ben and Bill have figured out that there's something going on, like, you know, there's this well, and we have to figure out where it lives in this well. The well of souls.
They look at the sewer map and it all goes back to...
They overlap the sewer map with the town, and they're going over everything. This was one of the scarier parts of the movie, in my opinion. What I also liked is that they let... So Skarsgård, this version of Pennywise doesn't move normally. Yeah. Right? Like, oh, all of his movements were herky-jerky, or uh-huh, they were, like, not quite right.
Well, he moves like a puppet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Especially in that scene in the sewer when he does the dancing and he's, yeah, all crazy. And,
oh,
they,
man,
just,
that was
like,
so weird. Like, his
visual.
Head. His head, yeah, was stationary, was like, but his whole body was, yeah, yeah.
That was the very, yes, good puppet imagery. Yeah.
So they're going over these slides, and this is also the scene in the trailer where the slides keep going. And then you see Pennywise comes out of the...
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a good one. I liked that a lot.
Are the razor teeth from the book?
Yes.
Because every monster interaction with Pennywise, the woman, you know, who is still the same creature, but
right,
they do the sharp, like, I don't know, mandible jaw thing that comes out of
right. Like, it's
super
almost
creepy.
It's like the face of Pennywise kind of like pulls back.
Oh,
yeah.
Toward the end when they do that, where his whole face,
yeah,
opens up,
oh,
and the,
yeah,
jaw with the teeth comes,
yeah,
out. It's,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
That is,
look,
again...
Like, look like a vagina with teeth.
Yeah. Again,
so
not
just a vagina then.
There's a movie about
teeth.
There is, called Teeth.
Teeth, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know, it's a great movie. So you don't remember.
Well, I mean, she bites a dick off.
But you don't remember.
I don't remember what?
The character's name
is what?
What?
Dawn O'Keefe.
Oh my God.
No.
Look it up.
No, no, no. That,
the girl with the teeth in her vagina?
Yep, that's hilarious.
Oh my. No, I do not remember.
That was a Blockbuster that's... exclusive.
Wow.
Yeah.
So
they
so
must anyway. Have been so proud.
Yeah. So the kids decide we need to go, like, the Well of Souls, is that what it's called?
Or no, the Well of Souls is Raiders of the Lost
that's,
Ark.
Okay, yeah, right. I was like, that'd be really a coincidence if that was the thing. So they realize that the well is in this house that we've seen our kids go past before.
Is that Mike's house?
No, it's nobody's house.
Okay,
it's like
I was
an
just
abandoned
confused
house.
Because,
yeah,
he talks about, you know, that burned down house, and that house looks burned down. It looks,
yeah,
black
it,
and
it looks,
charred. And...
There is some of that, but I don't think it's supposed to be the same house.
I think it's
because it's abandoned, and it looks like it's been abandoned for,
yeah,
quite a while.
I don't think so either, but I just thought it was weird they mentioned that burned
question.
Down house.
Yeah,
and
it's
then,
a fair question.
So,
yeah,
like, so they get to the house.
It was the house from Monster House.
Yeah.
What a great movie.
It looks like the house from that Netflix show.
Yeah.
Doesn't it? The... mysterious
Fuller House.
Yeah, it looks like the Fuller House. No, what's the Neil Patrick Harris one?
Oh,
Lemony Snicket.
Yeah,
doesn't it look like
I
like
never
that?
Watched that.
No.
It's really good.
Is it really?
Yeah. It's really good.
Was the movie any good?
I don't. I didn't watch it.
But okay.
But the show's really, yeah, good.
Okay,
and it's kids can watch it. It's
yeah, good.
Ryan loved it.
It's a little dark, but like dark in
that.
A good kid way.
Yeah, yeah.
The kids need a little dark. Dark.
I agree.
Dark little... in the way that Willy Wonka for us was dark.
Oh,
right.
Then we're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good enough. So the kids, they all get there, and so earlier in the movie they make a joke about somebody needs to be on lookout in case something happens. So Bill's just like, oh no, maybe it's Stanley.
Well, they all
want
to be on lookout.
Right, right. So
yeah,
the line is just like, no, somebody should stay outside and be the lookout. And Bill's just like, you know what? That's a good idea. Who wants to be on lookout? And they all raise their hands.
Yeah,
and,
like me.
And I was like, that's great. So it ends up being Eddie, Richie, and Bill go into the house. And while they're in there, all hell breaks loose, basically. They know that Pennywise is in the house. And
meanwhile, Henry has killed his father. Because he's the one that comes in.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's right.
It's
yeah.
Big...
He basically becomes possessed by Pennywise. Like, he's just...
I don't think it was a very long
it was
walk.
It was not a long walk.
No, but I love
right.
that the TV show they're watching.
What? Do you recognize that woman?
No.
I thought it was Valerie Bertinelli. And I was like, there's no way they got Valerie Bertinelli to be in this movie.
But it was so creepy the way it looked like
Valerie,
an old 80s kids show.
They did a really good job.
And,
yeah.
And it looked really legit. And then she's saying, like, kill them all. And it was
like, okay.
In a happy kids show way. Yeah. And then he takes a switchblade up to his father, the police
yeah.
chief's neck, and opens it. And he's just blood everywhere.
Blood everywhere.
And so from this point, he takes that next step where he's not just carving
even
letters.
Even his buddy is just like, that's a bridge too far.
Oh, no, I don't think I want
to
hang out with you anymore.
So he goes after and kill them all. He's trying to kill these kids.
Right.
So he meets them in the house.
He finds them in the house, yeah. But at the same time, so Pennywise, Richie hasn't had an interaction with Pennywise yet. And now is the time
yeah.
for him. This is, how bad was this scene for you?
Yeah, see, that I also don't like ventriloquist dummies.
Oh, so you got a twofer.
So Richie goes into this room and it's all, at first, it's all
the
covered up.
Like
everything's
like
covered.
Either.
Yeah, I don't like them either. Mm. Everything's covered up. And then the door kind of, Richie is making his way into the room. The door closes behind him and all of the covers come up. and it's just clowns. Like, it's just clowns, wall-to-wall dolls. Clowns. And
then
dolls.
A box opens that has his missing poster. But I'm like, don't look in that. Don't look. It's like, come on, don't look in
that. I think that was the fear, is that he was afraid to go missing.
Yeah.
And he was afraid people wouldn't look for him, you know, and Bill's trying to call. He's like, look, this isn't real. Like, you're here. Yeah. I'm here. You're here. Yeah. We're here.
So then I think Pennywise jumps up and does like a superhero landing on the box.
He does. He does the superhero landing. Yeah. I was just like, whoa.
It was creepy. I just love the movements and everything. It's like, so I'm not a huge fan of CG, and usually, but this movie was so stylized that when they did weird things like that, or later when he's dancing in the sewer, it's weird and it's not what I would call like good CG, but it was like artistic CG. You know what I mean?
It wasn't supposed to look realistic.
Yes, it was stylized.
It was supposed
to
look like a trippy fever dream. Exactly. So it was okay.
So I loved those scenes when it was just so weird looking and he would do that stuff.
So our characters are getting taken out, basically. So they've cornered Richie, and Richie is freaked out. Like, he falls through the floor and he breaks his arm. And then Pennywise kind of has them all dead to rights. And all of a sudden, here comes Bev and Mike, and they all get in the house. And because they realize because they're together and in a unit, they are able to fight off Pennywise.
Right.
So they realize Pennywise kind of scurries away, because I think they jam like a piece of rebar through his head.
Yeah.
And he scurries away, and they realize, and they follow him, and they realize he's down in the sewer. Like, this is where we got to go.
I love. Yeah. It's such a cool. It's a great fight.
Yeah.
I think it's a great fight between them. And then, really creepy when he retreats the thing in his head. And
And this is where we kind of get the spider-ishness for the first time.
I really want to see this movie again.
They handled this, the sort of like spider monster alien side, because he was kept, you know, when they are fighting him,
you see bits and pieces of it.
It's sort of like it keeps like adjusting its appearance to be the thing that they each kid fears.
Correct.
You know, it's sort of like morphing between like, you don't like the painting, and you don't like this.
Yeah, here's the leper, here's the painting,
and you don't like
this.
The burning and stuff like that. And so, like, as they keep hammering away, it's just sort of like becomes greater creature.
Right.
And I thought they did it so much better, because in seeing that, it, you know, because in that original movie and in the book, it was just like, oh, it's a big spider.
It's a big spider.
Dumb.
Yeah, like, you get to the end, you're like, really? And they tried to, he tried to lay the groundwork with like, this sort of cosmic turtle that like is all that's good, and the spider is bad. And it's like, and so when they get in there and it's like, and they're fighting a spider, and you're just like,
it's a big spider. And
they reference that in the Dark Tower, where like they put a spider on the, like, it's crossing over into the dimensions or whatever.
Yeah.
So our kids realize they didn't win. They survived, but they didn't win. And they go back, and Richie's mom has lost her shit.
Yeah, he broke his arm.
He's not hanging out with you anymore. And Bill is just like, yeah, all right, let's go. Like, Richie's gonna be fine. We gotta go back. Stanley's just kind of like, no, like, I'm done. Like, this is ridiculous. I don't want anything to do with it. And they all kind of split off. And I don't know how long. They don't really tell you how long
they have.
It had been about 6 weeks, because they were in July, and they kind of reconvene towards the end of August.
Okay. Yeah. I did have a problem with the amount of dead leaves on the ground.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know when this was filmed, but I don't think there would be dead leaves on the ground like in fall. Like, the scene where Eddie is going like running home
up there.
But it is
New England. Why autumn is called fall, right?
In Maine.
What?
But I don't know it starts in August, but
yeah, but I don't think that they fall. They die. They don't die and fall on the ground in August.
Not here.
Oh, maybe. That's true. I didn't think about that.
So we fast forward
right up
6
there
weeks.
Is,
yeah. And
their summer's a lot shorter.
That's true. Bev is taken.
They have a metric summer.
Right. Yeah, how does Bev get taken? I remember him choking her and then taking her, but what does she do?
So she's running away from her dad.
Okay. Yeah.
So her dad kind of says, I've heard rumors that you're hanging around with those boys. Are you doing adult things with those boys?
I know what's on boys' minds.
She's just like, I'm not. I swear. And she runs into the bathroom and she locks the door, and then she doesn't hear her dad anymore. So she opens the door, and
No. He breaks it
down.
That's what it is.
He charges
him with the top.
She hits
him
in the bathtub.
That's right. That's right. She hits him with the ceramic toilet seat.
Yeah.
And then I think she goes to the door,
and then he grabs her. This is one of two things from characters that they make her a damsel in distress, which I didn't really agree with. because she wouldn't like the book. And they also make Mike, when Mike, or when Richie is punching, what's his name?
Yeah.
When they have their fight. Richie would never do that.
Like, Richie wouldn't get into a fight?
No. Richie did everything he could to, you know,
avoid
protect
the
team. Well, they're a team, and he's always looking out for those guys.
Right.
So when he gets in a fight, or not Richie, I'm sorry, when...
Bill?
Bill, Georgie's brother.
Yeah.
When Bill punches Richie, I was just like,
When they're going at each other.
Yeah, it's like,
that was out of character
from the story.
Yeah. This was the scene, as I talked on the previous episode, this was the scene where that woman was just like, that never happened.
Are you saying Beverly's a Mary Sue?
No, so, I'm just saying that she wasn't.
I think a Mary Sue. No, she, yeah, Bev, I don't
Bev
think
was strong
Sue.
And was not a damsel in distress.
To me, I felt like, I mean, she was in an abusive family situation, but I mean, she kicked ass, and I thought she stood up for herself pretty well.
Yes, but she didn't need to be rescued by the boys. When they go after...
Well, the reason they get back together is to go after...
I understand what you mean.
I did the same thing at first, too. I thought he meant in the bathroom. When she gets
the boys
taken,
and now they have to go.
I get that.
That was out of character.
I see.
That didn't happen.
No, we're on the same page. I'm sorry.
She didn't need their rescuing.
Yeah.
So, Bill is going to hang out with Beverly, because they're starting to be a thing, and he kind of... He realizes that something has gone horribly wrong. So he goes and gathers up the boys. And he's like, we got it. Like, they've got... He's got Beverly. Like, we have to go.
Even Richie.
Richie, Mike, all of them. They're
and
all
Richie
there.
Tells off his mom.
No, Eddie tells off his mom.
Oh, I'm sorry. And then Eddie tells off his mom.
Which, so that's the other thing is, like, Eddie goes to the pharmacy. We didn't talk about the creepy-ass pharmacist who is basically...
Yeah.
Pedo pharmacist?
Eyeballing Bev.
But she knows it.
Yeah, and she's playing it.
And she's doing it on purpose.
She does.
Yeah.
Where the pharmacist's daughter is just like, you know, this is all bullshit. It's all placebos. And he's
placebos.
Like, what's a gazebo?
Yeah,
like that.
They're gazebos.
Oh my god,
that was
like,
great.
There is enough. They've inflected enough humor into those awfully emotional scenes where he's like, I know what these are. These are gazebos.
Yeah.
And she's just like, what?
Oh, come back, Eddie.
Yeah. In the book, his inhaler was just water.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, is that right?
Yeah. Okay.
Doesn't it do something in the movie? Like, doesn't it, like, burn Pennywise's face? He turns it into, like,
a flamethrower.
It turns
into a weapon. I don't know.
I forgot about
that. But in the TV series.
It was, right?
It becomes, like a weapon.
Right.
And it was just like, well, that was,
so this
hopefully
is when
that
all,
doesn't happen.
They all go back to the house.
They all go back, and they go down in the well. And they kind of get separated, right? So Bill is gone. Like, Bill just goes, and he's burning, like, through the tunnels, because he sees...
Yeah.
I don't know if he sees Georgie, but by the time he gets to this part, we realize that Pennywise has already captured Bev, and he's
floating.
Put her under the trance. And when you look up, you see all of the bodies.
So is that what "you'll float too" means?
Yeah,
that's the actual.
You'll float. Yeah, we all float down here.
So why do the kids float? Do they ever? I mean,
I think he's just using them as like a fear tool. Yeah.
Did they float
like that in the book?
I don't know. That's what I'm wondering.
I always took it as they were floating because they're in the sewers.
Yeah. I don't remember.
That's what I was wondering. Is the floating in the air a new thing, or is that...
Yeah, I honestly don't remember.
A newer take on "you'll float" because they literally were floating.
I don't remember like the description of that, but I thought it was really effective.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I also remember in the book, like it, they're in the sewers, but at some point it kind of becomes this cosmic, like... place in between places. Yes.
Like the sewer is this
They're not like really in the sewers anymore. Okay. It's like a wormhole.
Dimension. Yeah, somewhere else.
Yeah. The stuff that they're going to do in the next movie, because
I don't think they're going to do it.
I think the director talked about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because it's like, it would have been too much for this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have lost people. They kept it
very tight.
Right in the bumpers.
Yeah. So Bill gets down there, and this is where we see Georgie without the overcoat, and there was a moment where I was like, Mike has like
except for the arm.
Mike has the gun that he uses to put down.
Henry comes before this.
Oh, that's right.
Henry gets the gun from Mike.
Right. And they kill Henry.
Henry comes to kill them all, and he ends up falling.
Getting tossed over into the.
Kills Mike.
Kicks him down the well.
Yeah, which was awesome. So now he's in the second part, so they killed him off where he's a character.
They kill Henry's in the second part?
We didn't see the body.
Oh, well. But I just thought that
he's dead.
But yeah, I would too. But he plays a part in the older story.
Yeah.
So.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are you saying you still think that will happen?
I don't know.
I don't think he's dead.
Maybe they. Maybe
they didn't really kill him, or maybe they hand that off to
maybe Pennywise resurrects him
to one of the other.
Oh, maybe,
because there's only one left.
I'm
the other
pretty
one's gone
sure
too.
He's dead. I mean, I know we didn't see it, but
so we're in this big part of the sewer, and we see, and Bill, they bring Ben. This is the scene where they're supposed to be a teen orgy, but Ben kind of pulls Beverly down and gives her a kiss, and then she snaps out of it.
Yeah,
and I know that scene exists in the book, and I was like, I gotta tell you. That's a brilliant way get around it.
And that's when she finally figures out, too, that
Ben was
the one.
Ben was the poet
that was writing her love poems.
Right, and not Bill.
So why does she end up with Bill?
Because Bill's not fat.
Because
I just really thought this movie
Bill's the
was
one that
go
initially
with...
reached out to her and befriended her and stood up for her and said that, you know, those are just rumors.
I like that he doesn't get the girl. I like
really?
That because yeah. I do
like that as well
because you
it's
know
cliche too.
I like
also
the fact
he's
that
he's an analog for Stephen King.
Yeah, and also like just because you
a little chubby writer,
just because you like the girl doesn't mean that
she's
the girl
like
has
you.
To
right.
like you, yeah. and it doesn't mean and
well she does. Like
I thought she does.
Okay,
in the
okay,
movie. That's why,
but not romantically.
No,
that's what I mean.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
By like you know, just because you have romantic feelings for the girl, let me restate, doesn't mean that she has to have romantic feelings
right.
for you.
Right,
and also, like, it doesn't make her a bad person.
Nope.
No.
Like, she's still a good character. Right. You still like her. She's just sorry.
I'm just not that into you.
She's just not into
but
you.
I totally get it, and I agree with all those things. But she, before she knew that Ben wrote that postcard, she thought it was Bill.
Yeah.
And she did like the romantic things behind it, so it was Ben.
Right, but then at that point, Bill... had already begun, like Bill and Bev had already begun going down that path together.
Right.
And it became more than just the poems.
And gotcha. And Bill was the first one to defend her and
right.
say that those are all rumors.
Right. And it's also, it's not an either or, like, right. She can like those poems, but, and be flattered by the affection, but still not be attracted to him. Like it. And I mean,
Kevin knows what that's like.
And honestly, like how many times do you see that in a movie?
Where
when's the last time you saw that on screen to where the girl is like, you're really nice,
right?
But I'm not attracted to you,
right?
And I am attracted to this other guy.
I feel like that just happened.
Who's also nice, right? Like it's not like this isn't a story where this girl's picking the bad guy,
right?
She's attracted
she's
to this
picking
guy.
The leader, the stronger of the two.
But she's still picking a nice guy,
yeah.
And she's still nice to this kid. She's
right.
not mean to him. She's not painted.
And I feel
as
like he kind of accepts it.
Yeah, she's not painted as a bitch
nope.
or an awful person. Like, I mean, have we ever seen that story in a movie?
I feel like we just saw it. I could be wrong.
I don't know that we have. I can't think of anything. Normally.
No, it's The World's End. The girl does not get with Simon Pegg. She goes with the other guy. Mm-hmm. In the world's
it's
end.
It's been a while. I don't remember.
Yeah, yeah. So the end of that, like Simon Pegg is going after him. What is that woman's name? She was in Gone Girl.
No, I mean, I've seen movies where the guy doesn't get the girl, but where it's not a sign that it's a character flaw on the girl's
right.
part or that she's shallow. Like,
and there's
none of that's
there's not a wrong choice.
Right.
Right.
It's just she likes this other
she
guy
likes
better.
The guy better.
Yeah. Like
that's the way that
I
works
mean,
sometimes.
Like you really don't see a female character in a romantic triangle. Make an autonomous decision like that where she's not making a bad choice.
Right.
She's just making her choice.
Right.
Exactly.
And
it's very smartly done.
It might be one of the most subversive feminist acts we've seen in a major motion picture.
I can see that
picture.
For sure. That makes sense.
You know?
And I don't think anybody else gets that.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there are plenty of people that do get that.
Because it's presented
very
matter-of-factly.
Yeah,
like,
right.
I like you. You're a nice guy. Mm-hmm. And
I'm
still going to be your friend. But I don't have those feelings
right.
for you.
Just
I also got the feeling that he was a couple, like even younger than Bill. Is that?
I think
I thought
so.
They were the same
so
age.
So there was also
he was younger.
Okay.
There
okay.
was also an. I felt like Bill was younger than her by like a year, maybe two. But
and
I felt
she,
like he
was
like
already.
Yeah.
Yeah. I felt like maybe like Bill was a sophomore, she was a junior,
he's a freshman,
and he's a freshman.
Right. I could see that. I guess that would make sense why he's the new kid too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense. So this is where we see Bill. Sees Georgie and Georgie's just like, oh my God, I've been looking for you for so long.
Georgie's missing an arm.
He's missing an arm. And he's just like, God, Bill, I've been like,
I'm just, I just want to go home. And I'm just like, oh, maybe that is Georgie. Like, how, and then he shoots him. And then, of course, that's, he doesn't change right away.
That's such a great, it's such a great moment because
I love that.
I love the fact that this movie had the balls to shoot a 6-year-old kid in the
yeah,
head.
Right.
Like, and like,
and they linger on it. For
and,
a while.
And
they let
and,
it sit there. Yeah.
And make you sit there.
And they make Bill think, shit.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, like, oh,
was I
wrong?
God,
I never saw him waver. When he shot him, like
I think it was
afterwards.
Yeah, when he doesn't immediately turn and back into Pennywise.
I mean, he waits, but he never freaks out over.
He doesn't freak
God,
out, but
could,
if you
like,
no. But yeah. if you look at the expression on his face, he's just like, yeah, you need to change into the
yeah.
clown quick.
Right.
This
yeah.
now
needs
I'm thinking
to happen.
I shot my brother in
yeah.
the head.
Yeah.
that I've been you know yeah. looking.
He
for.
Was confident
over.
Though. I think he was very. That's why he did it. He didn't mull over. Like he just shoots him straight up. He's like, you know, I love you. I miss you. But you're dead.
He does.
Yeah.
He, you, it's nice because he gets
it.
The closure where he's just yeah, like, right. I'm sorry.
And I also
love
like
you.
The fact that there was no tell.
Yeah.
Like right. you didn't have a flash that it was the clown. Like you, mm-hmm.
you didn't get the amber eyes
like
or anything.
Yeah. There was yeah. nothing. Nope. Like he sat there. Georgie sat there doe eyed.
Yeah.
Like, bring
please,
me home.
Let's go home.
And he was just like, you ain't him.
Yeah, blam.
Like you said, and then they lingered on it. And
it's
like
fantastic.
That was a very
yeah.
well done
and
scene.
The transformation was so good.
Good, yeah.
The way
so
the
is,
legs shot out one by one, like,
right.
eventually, you know.
Yeah.
Like
it was
things.
Kind of cartoony, like kind of Looney Tunes-y in a way creepier way. Yeah.
But
yeah.
not cartoony. It was very real world realistic, but the physics were
it
more
reminded
cool.
me right. So, yeah, right.
But
that's what
it
I mean.
Was
yeah,
so
yeah,
real
the
looking.
Physics. Yes,
but,
yes,
yeah.
So the Losers Club gang up. They beat on...
They all face
Pennywise.
Their fears.
They
they're
all
not
face
scared
their,
anymore.
They're no longer scared anymore. And they knock Pennywise.
He scurries away.
He scurries away into this another sewer
does
inside
the backflip. He does the backflip.
Yeah, that was
well.
Weird. That was a weird little...
It's just a weird movement.
Yeah,
again, showing how
move.
Strange
yeah.
he moves.
But this is where you see, like, there's a one where he's walking and it becomes a spider leg.
Yeah.
And then...
I like it when he's all upside down and crouched into the, was it a closet or
yeah.
refrigerator? Remember
oh,
the
yeah,
refrigerator?
Yeah, yeah. When he comes
he's
apart.
Upside down
yeah,
and he
yeah, yeah.
his parts all like mechanically. Yeah,
right.
Oh, dude, the, such a good.
So he kind of disintegrates and then the losers kind of come out of the.
What does he say before he disintegrates?
He says something.
Fear.
Oh, is that what
yeah.
he says?
Yeah.
Okay.
He just says fear.
But I thought he had like a little bit of a soliloquy.
No, he says one word. I guess it was fear and then
yeah.
he disintegrates.
Just,
so.
That was. That's a good word. Thank you very much. I have to give myself praise when I say use words in the right kind of
paramecium. Ta-da.
So yeah, that they go out and then they're all kind of sitting together. This is where they cut their hands. And I was like, on a dirty piece of glass.
Wow.
Gross.
80s.
Yeah, that's yeah. true. Yeah. Yeah. Richie was so, or Eddie was so worried about AIDS that he just picks, they're like, no,
yeah.
it's cool. Just go ahead and cut my hand
yeah.
with a dirty
you
piece
guys
of glass.
Are all still
he knew they were all virgins.
Yeah, that's
there.
True. Yeah. yeah. I'm more worried about the piece of glass more than anything else.
Yeah.
So then they
oh,
all
yeah,
kind of start
hepatitis,
yeah,
but,
right.
you know.
Yeah. They all start walking off one by one. And I think this is where you get the first look at Stanley where he says, he's like, I hate you. And he says it with a straight face. And then he starts to laugh.
But
don't,
is it a joke?
But is it a joke?
Yeah.
And I don't think it, like, that's the first sign of the cracks that we'll see
right.
in part two.
Interesting.
And then we get all of the other, everybody kind of breaks away.
Mm-hmm.
We're left with Bill and Bev. And, you know, they get, it's a good moment between they two.
Yeah.
They've also, for children, they've, it's so weird, but they are kids.
Mm-hmm.
They've got great chemistry. They've got great romantic chemistry. As
you
like
believe
the
that they have legitimate affection.
Yeah,
for
like
each other.
The awkwardness
not like a,
of 13, 15
not a
year
sexual
olds.
Sexual chemistry,
right.
but.
No,
like,
yeah, like.
You believe
you,
them.
I like that girl.
Yeah. yeah.
I don't know what my body is doing right
and
now.
And we
but,
already know that she's no, she's leaving.
Yeah, she's yeah. going to Portland because her dad, I guess, is dead. I guess she killed him.
Well, yeah, she killed him.
Oh,
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah. Oh, I took him as dead, but.
I did too.
I don't think we think so, but.
I thought she did.
She's going to go live with her aunt.
Right. And then they have a kiss, and then that's it.
That's, it.
That's how right. it ends. And
it
I
says end of chapter,
it says chapter
one,
one.
So
yeah,
which I thought was brilliant at the end of the movie.
Right,
like
yeah.
that's a really smart move.
So for those who aren't familiar, are like, oh,
I really hope that
like,
they
is
don't.
Not done.
I really hope that they don't do three chapters. What worries me is we're going to get a Pennywise prequel.
Yeah.
I think you will. I think
yeah.
if, that,
I
if
think,
that's chapter three, that's fine.
Yes.
Yes.
Give me chapter two as the adults.
Yeah. Yes. I think you're going to get one and two and it's going to be the book and then they're not going to be able to resist the cash grab.
Right.
And
right.
you're going to start getting these spinoffs, but we can enjoy these first two.
Yeah.
And, pretend
and
that it, the rest
this is fan. I'm.
Yeah.
I was pleasantly surprised.
I thought this was so good.
Yeah, it was so
yeah.
good. It was
I'll go
so
see
great.
This again.
It's not a horror movie.
No.
I'm going to tell you. There is
it's
some
more like a really intense action movie.
Yes.
It's kind of, it's in some ways like The Mummy.
Yeah.
The first mummy, like the Brandon Fraser movie.
Like,
mummy.
What are you talking
where
about?
Where it's like when the mummy's turning into whatever that, it, you know, and like, and but. But
the Egyptian guy.
Yeah, but I mean, like, those are some pretty intense, scary effects. Yeah. I think in a lot of ways,
some scares. It's a horror,
right? But it's
this will be a jumping off ground for 13-year-olds moving from, like Goosebumps, things like that, to make the jump into adult horror.
Yeah,
this will be that transition movie.
Maybe a little bit older.
This is very violent for a young kid. This is very rated R.
Oh, I agree.
But
I
mean, like, kids are playing Call of Duty.
Yeah, thank you. They're playing Call of Duty
Zombies.
Yeah, but
this imagery with the with the blood and stuff.
No. I think this will be that. This will be that go between.
Kids are making it jaded.
I agree.
Yeah. You'll see when Ryan turns 13.
I think it's not a scary movie. It's creepy. I think it's more psychological, but with lots of gore.
Yeah.
With the blood and the
I'm not
violence,
saying that it doesn't have that. I'm just saying I don't think it affects kids.
Yeah.
I think you're right.
Tom, I agree with you. So, Dan, do you have a video recovery for us?
I do, and it's actually the very first TV adaptation of a Stephen King story. It's from 1979. It's TV Salem's Lot, directed by the recently departed Toby Hooper.
Yeah.
David Soul, who's
Lance
really good.
Kerwin.
Lance Kerwin. Was it James at 15?
James at 15, and then season two became James at 16.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
Fred Willard in a very unique, dramatic turn. He always kind of plays the adult, and he plays the dad or the grandfather on Modern Family. But in this movie, he plays it straight, and it's really odd to see, like, I'm like, I don't remember him being a straight man.
Yeah, I don't know that I've ever seen him play anything where he isn't that kind of goofball.
Like, going all the way back to, like, Fernwood Tonight, and that's going in the Wayback Machine. Do you remember that show?
What's that?
Fernwood Tonight?
I've seen
Martin Mull and Fred Willard.
I mean, I know of it. I never actually saw it.
But anyway, 1979, and it's set in Salem's Lot, and it's in Maine, and it's all part of the shared universe, and it's basically a writer comes back to town after his wife has died, and he wants to write a book about this spooky house on the hill, and James Mason is in it, and he plays the man who came to town, and he's opening up a small antique shop, and they keep talking about this other guy, his partner, and when's his Mr. Barlow coming to town? This is a good, creepy movie.
It's
and
a
for
really
1979,
good movie.
It still holds up.
And it's
up.
A TV movie, right?
TV movie.
Yeah,
it was
a two-parter. Two-parter, yeah.
I remember watching this when I was 12 and making, you know, now in hindsight, I'm like, Dad, was that a good call?
Aren't there two edits of this movie?
There are two edits, and you really want to see the, I know Amazon Prime has like the, you want the 3+ hour
gotcha.
Version of it.
They redid that with Rob Lowe.
Yeah, because there's like a 2-hour edit, and then there's like a mini series, like a two night.
Yeah, you want the longer version. The short version makes no sense. It's so just
cut
redacted
up.
And condensed. Good creepy movie. Some good scares in it. You know, the vampire. It's a vampire. Spoiler.
Spoilers.
If you haven't seen it, it's definitely worth your time. It's one of those. Good. You know,
it's
in the '70s, it worked better than that when they like tried to remake it again.
Yeah.
It's coming. Don't worry. With the success of this.
I'm like, if they probably could make it again.
I would love to see them start going back to doing, circling back around and doing Stephen King books.
Right.
Properly.
Yeah. Right.
He deserves to make a hell of, like, those would be hell of a movies.
And if Netflix or HBO.
Yeah. If somebody was really smart, they'd offer him a 360 deal. Everybody wants a shared universe.
Right.
This guy built one.
It's coming, though. Like, there's a show that's coming.
But, I mean, they need to, like, incorporate all the stories and let them all touch. And, like, that would be, you know.
They need Kevin Feige.
Yeah.
Everybody does.
Yeah, because this is a guy. I mean, this is someone who did that way back then, you know, when. And nobody really kind of thought about it or just kind of thought, oh, it's cute. But, like, he's had so many things. He even had one where it was, like, characters intersected between a Stephen King story and a Richard Bachman story.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it's been very well thought out. It's neat as you go through the books to see how they intertwine.
Yeah. So if you want to, you know, especially build up for Halloween, if you want to see kind of a fun, older, creepy movie, check out the version of
Salem's Lot. Gargoyles.
Yeah.
And I love Gargoyles.
And if you want the more Lance Kerwin and nerdy stuff, he was, I believe he was in that Tom Hanks made for TV movie Mazes and Monsters.
Yes.
What's that?
It's like the Dia Diaz bad movie.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah. If you haven't seen that, oh my god,
it's totally worth seeing. It's like Tom Hanks, like 1981.
Ooh.
Like it's pre bosom buddies. It's So well, thank you, Dan.
Yeah, no problem.
So that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table and everybody can say where to find him.
This is Dan. You can find me on Twitter at DanGraney67. G R A N E Y.
This is Joe. You can also follow me on the Twitter at JoeyButts. BUTTS21. Also, don't forget to check out on the League of Show Sharers page the fan cast that I have. I want to hear your thoughts or who you'd like to see in those characters.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/Real Spoilers or on Twitter at Real Spoilers. Go to iTunes, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. So that's it for this episode. I don't know what the movie is next week. Too lazy to go.
Mother.
Mother. Is that the movie? Okay. Yeah. So I guess we will do Mother next week.
I didn't say it either.
What? So we will discuss Yo Mama next
Yo
week.
Mama.
So thanks for tuning in. And until next time, Dink and Stinchy help save Jane from Binky.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.